Welcome to Press Rewind, a podcast where your friends at Fandom City discuss movies we watched all the time back in the day. As we discover, some of these movies remain classic, but others not so much. Today, we're discussing the black classic film, Coolie High. Before we jump in, let's introduce ourselves. I am Leona X.
I am Shell.
I am T.
And before we go further, can I just say, sorry, my fan's on because it's hot as blue blazes up in this joint.
And I'll also say, the youngsters stink. So anyway, so what the youngsters who normally join didn't join, just to clarify. Not all youngsters. Just Kat is the best youngster of them all.
At least she watched it.
Thank you for watching it. Thank you, Kat. Love you. Okay, so what made you see this movie?
I believe it was Dad. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, he was like, I bet we were watching like 16 Candles or some other high school bull crap. And he was like, this is like Coolie High better. We was like, a who? You never seen no Coolie High? Now, we are young, so no. I didn't mean like he older. It's been like, it's an old movie. So,
yeah. That's fair. Okay. And I'm going to take your word for it. I really don't know. I just feel like it's something I've always seen.
It's always on.
Right. Always on. And I just feel like I've always known what it is. Like Sparkle. I don't know. I have no idea the first time I saw it. I've always known it. But I love it. So, T, would you like to go into the synopsis?
Sure. IMDb says, in 1964 on Chicago's Near North Side, the lives of four carefree high school seniors and best friends, including an aspiring playwright and an all-city basketball champion, takes a tragic turn.
The lives of five high school students.
No, it's really three and a half because Tyrone is not really there.
An unnamed guy. But so many things are wrong. Did all their lives take a tragic turn?
No.
And it says the lives of takes a tragic turn. Who wrote this?
Somebody who didn't watch it. Wikipedia says, Coolie High is a 1975 American coming-of-age comedy drama film that follows the narrative of high school seniors and best friends, Leroy Priest Jackson and Richard Cochise Morris. The tagline is, the real cool school.
And you gotta do that.
Oh, that made me think when Damon was pimp walking into the classroom, Kat was like, is something wrong with his leg?
Kat, you don't know about the pimp walk? Come on, Kat.
You don't know about that pimp walk.
When did people start doing the pimp walk? If you don't know
That's
about
a great
it.
Great question, actually. That's a great question.
Because you just went away.
Slide into rooms no more.
You just walk normal.
How do people know you cool if you're not sliding into places?
You gotta swing your arms in.
And walk a little slow. You gotta lean to the side a little bit.
You gotta make a face.
You gotta put some stank on it.
So chill.
Okay. It was released, I guess, on a great day, July 25th, 1975. It was a great day. 18 years later, it was directed by Michael Schultz, who also directed Car Wash, Last Dragon, and other probably black movies. It was written by Eric Monte, who wrote Good Times, What's Happening, and probably other black shows. And the budget was $750,000.
Stuff like Benson.
Stuff like
all kinds of stuff, actually.
I bet you. See, look at that.
What other the budget. Show?
Benson.
I said Benson.
Oh. See?
Peach done made a name for himself.
The budget was $750,000. And the box office was $13 million because black folks get up in them theaters.
Come through.
What you think it cost? Like 50 cents a ticket?
50 cents sounds,
I guess,
good. Possible.
After this, ask mom and dad.
Okay.
Wait, make their face.
No, ask them. I was trying to think real fast. Like 50 cents.
I'm about to Google.
Maybe.
That.
I mean, it was like $4 when we went to see Under the Cherry Moon, wasn't it? And that was before six.
I don't think it was. We'll talk about this later. But I don't think it was that high.
Okay.
But what was that?
The casting characters, Glenn Turman played Leroy Preach Jackson. His name was Preach all the way up until the police came for me. I was like, who is Leroy Jackson?
Yeah, who? He got last name?
Lawrence Hilton Jacobs played Richard Cochise Morris. I knew his name was Richard Morris when he turned into Freddie Boom Boom Washington on that girl.
Oh my gosh, he sure did. He was like, hello there.
Garrett Morris played Mr. Mason. Corin Rogers played Pooter. And there were special appearances by Stephen Williams of 21 Jump Street and Robert Townsend of Everything.
I said, sure.
$2.
$2.03.
That was in 1975?
Yes.
That's
wow.
High.
No. They sold some tickets like that.
They made money. I mean, they made, that's good. Well, I don't know what's wrong with Hollywood.
They're for racist? Real.
Yeah. That has been established. from the establishing shots of all, not just of the neighborhood, but all the ruddy parts of the neighborhood.
So, Eric Monte grew up in Cabrini Green,
mm-hmm.
and he went to Cooley Vocational or something like that. Some
school, oh, that's a real school.
Was Cooley, okay. Whatever. Mm-hmm. So he really did want that realistic, gritty city feel.
Okay.
And then he went on to write for Good Times. So discussion of the two main characters. We'll jump in with them first. So Preach and Cochise, apparently Leroy and Richard.
Leroy!
What do you think of their friendship?
I think it was a good friendship. And you know, one I could point out was in the beginning when Cochise showed up to wake him up to go to school. I mean,
yeah.
He said, hey, Keith!
I think they had a really good friendship. I can't say that the whole group had a good friendship, but I think the two had a good friendship, and maybe Pooter would have been that next dude.
Pooter was, we gotta talk about Pooter in a minute, man. He needed help. Go ahead.
I agree that I think their friendship was good, but like I took a note that said that Preach is the real villain of this movie. He's a dick. Mm-hmm. Even in places where from the moment we first saw this movie until today when I watched it again, Cochise was the jerk to me. Mm-hmm. It never clicked. Mm-hmm. I think because Preach was so...
Mm-hmm.
Like, he has such a really good attitude and, like, a quality about him that was likable. I never saw him for the jerk that he was. But then today I'm like, you're a dick!
I mean...
Like, why are you doing this or saying this? And not just to, like, Brenda or... Gertrude, I don't remember the girl's name.
Sandra.
Not just to the women and the girls, but to your friends. Like, and I do recognize that a lot of it was, I'm 17 and I'm dumb, so I'm gonna say dumb stuff. Not realizing the ramifications of my actions and that this could really hurt somebody. But I was like, he's kind of a jackass. But I think that they compliment each other, and I think that they had a loyalty to each other that they didn't have to the other people, because I think they're the only ones who really like backed each other up 100%.
I mean, and that loyalty wasn't returned to them, so why should they have the loyalty for the other ones?
Exactly. Right. Yeah, I agree.
I feel like the other ones were, we've known them forever, and that's right. Cool. So we'll always keep hanging with them and going to quarter parties with them. But those two were the actual friends. Right. I feel like Preach and Cochise had each other's back. I feel like, yes, gave each other a hard time, but one thing, T, I have to agree with that, what you just said about Cochise and Preach, though. I always saw Preach as the one who I rooted for both of them. I want them to succeed. But I always saw Cochise as the cute jerk.
Right.
He cute, so he don't get away with everything. And Preach is the charming, awesome one. Well, how can you not love Preach? And I do have to agree with this last viewing. It was the first time that I was like,
right.
I didn't realize he was that mean to Dee.
Because he was the nerdy dude. Because he was the nerdy dude. So you just thought he was the misunderstood guy.
I guess so.
Preacher's, I mean, Cochise shadow. So he, you know, but it turns out.
And you don't realize. I think you don't. And maybe it takes getting older. And maybe having raised two kids through high school. I don't know. I don't know what the parts are. Or just analyzing it from a different point of view. But, like, not just because he was a nerd. Like, he did things on purpose to be a right. dick. Like, it wasn't like, I'm just a dick. It was like, I'm going to say this because I know it's going to hurt your feelings.
Right. Again, the way he was to D, because mm-hmm. I don't even feel like she it was necessary to be like that towards her. Even talking to Mr. Mason. Mr. Mason, like, you read history books for fun.
Right.
Why are you purposely not doing well in school? Like, who is this for? Right. Who is any of this for? And your mom is working hard. Like, why she gotta be stressed out, worried right. about you?
That is a good question. Who is this for? Because they all knew that he was a bookworm and that all his friends knew what he was about. They knew his goals. They knew he wrote poetry. So why was he putting on this show?
He probably doesn't want to be in school. I mean, like, we know school is not for everybody. Yeah,
school ain't for everybody. It's true.
But just the way he handled even those conversations, because he could have said, Mr. Mason, school just ain't my bag. Like, I just don't like it like that. I'm here until I can get out. Mm-hmm. And then I'm done with it. When I turn 18, I'm done. I'm not dealing with this anymore. But he was just like a real jerk to people who cared about him, to people who wanted the best for him. And I was just confused about it. Like, why are you like this?
I actually go further and say, I know I was always on his side, because even with this last viewing, mind you, I watched this, by the way, initially like a couple months ago, because I thought we were going to do the podcast sooner, so I watched it a couple months ago, so it's not even fresh, but I do remember sitting down to watch it and being so mad at the other friends, the not Coachee's friends, laughing at him. It's okay, it happens. I got so mad at the other friends for laughing at him and his poetry.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, I love that Coachee's let him know, like, dude, do your thing. Like, forget them. But I was like, how dare they?
Right.
Preach is awesome and you should have his back. And I just never knew to look at him as the jerk. I saw everyone as a jerk to him.
I just thought it was always interesting that Tyrone is the one who was making fun of him for writing poetry, but went in, not just read his poetry, mm-hmm. but copied it.
Copied it so he could, what, use it on Dorothy?
That's like, what I was thinking. Use it on everybody.
Yeah. You sitting here making fun of it, but you want to use it. You want to use my skills, though, dude. So I do think that's interesting. What do you think of, like, when we got to see their families and hear about what they wanted? Coachee's and Preach, still talking about them specifically. But their families and then them talking about what they want to do after high school.
Well, I thought it was interesting that they, you know, because sometimes movies tend to not show a whole family. I thought, and all families ain't mother, father, kids. You know, I like that they even had extended family, like having Uncle Jimmy Lee or whatever he was. He was close because of mom bailed him out of jail. So he was a close relative. So I thought it was cool. I thought his mother, I don't know if his mother did or didn't care, Coachee, but because in that moment it was just like, Jimmy Lee, you're the problem, and I don't have time to pay attention to you, Coachee, because I'm scolding Jimmy Lee and a grown man.
Right.
And I thought it was interesting that he got this house full of people, and all Preach had was his mother and his sisters, but his mother was hardworking. You knew that she was looking out for him, even if she wasn't right. there to look out for him. And
right.
Coachee looked like he had people in the house round the clock, and you really don't know if they're paying attention to him.
I mean, they got a baby, threw the letter away. Right. Ain't nobody know that baby had the mail.
I was scared Pig was gonna walk out the door.
Sorry, I was muted. Yeah, his mom is like, if you don't see it on the brake front or whatever the hell, if you don't see it, then it ain't there. And meanwhile, the baby run around with it. Like,
right.
And how did the baby get it? Did he climb?
Exactly. I know this is not important to you all, but it's important to me. So can we just pretend like it matters? I think it's very important what you just said, Shell. Like, Preacher's mom wasn't present, yet it was clear she cared.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Coachee's whole damn family is in that one apartment, and they could give two shits what he's doing. I need to understand why nobody was... I know why Preacher's mom didn't know. She was on her third job.
Mm-hmm.
How did nobody know Coachee's was out till 4 o'clock in the morning?
Right.
How was nobody right. concerned about where he was? Even at 17.
But how about Preach sneaking in and mom coming still know what went down.
Right. Exactly. She still was aware. That's how you know she actually still cared about him.
Mm-hmm.
Can I say, you know, while you were talking, I know there's a point, and forgive me if it was just now or if it was sometime before we talked about this, but you made a comparison to Ricky.
Yes.
So Cochise being Ricky, and of course, I guess Preach kind of being Trey. But I also thought of other comparisons, to be honest. You even kind of in passing said, hey, Q. So it's kind of like a Raheem and Q thing. But I also just for the first time thought of Lance and Harper from Best Man, because Lance is the, you know, the athlete and is the writer. I think it's interesting how you kind of notice influences on other black cinema, whether it's intentional or not, but it's kind of there, that and seeing that how a friendship plays out and how things can kind of rock it up, especially for Raheem and Q. Their friendship just kind of
got tested. Bishop and Q?
No, it's Raheem and Q. Oh,
okay.
Their friendship got tested because Raheem got killed.
I mean, that's a test for you.
Right. So what about their the rest of their friends? I call them the not coaching. The not coaching's friends. So are they the popular kids? And if so, how does Pooter fit in?
Pooter Cochise is, because he's the basketball star.
Yeah, I think that the popular ones. Yeah, and definitely because Cochise is a basketball star. I think Pooter is that kid that they brought. He was. That's why I think he's the third of the you know, between Cochise and Preach. I think
they know him since first grade.
I think he's the little brother. I think he the one that, even if Tyrone and Bert don't come, you know, Pooter was everywhere. Pooter was the first one. Okay. They even waited on Pooter so he could go take a shower. So Pooter is the third most important person in that group. So,
and he even kind of made it. He's like, y'all not gonna go without me.
And they didn't. They waited. When they didn't have enough money to go to the movies, he said, y'all ain't. He said, I know one person that's going.
Right. He showed it.
And then what they do, they went and found a way to get the money. He didn't have a girlfriend or whatever, but still, he was. They made sure that he was part of it if nobody else was part of it.
Yeah.
And the reason I wonder about them specifically being the popular crew, I guess, or at least the three of them, was because remember at the beginning, even when they snuck out of class, everybody helped them. Is it in my best interest to help you sneak out of class?
Right.
Porter was looking like, not again.
Right.
Why always gotta be me with the nosebleed?
You're messing up my shirt with this ink. I don't understand.
Right.
This ink gotta have noxious fumes. It's the 60s.
Right. It's holding all up in my
face. Oh my God. Surprised he passed out. Pooter could have got brain cancer. I mean,
I know,
poor
right?
Pooter.
Poor Pooter. So Sandra and Johnny May, the hallway girls. Oh. I think I already know y'all answer. Were they their girlfriends? Like, what were they supposed to be?
Yes, they were.
Here's the thing. I think this is so funny. So I think Johnny May probably was Cochise. I think Sandra was not. I think Sandra probably liked him. They probably dated at one point, but she got pulled in because Johnny May was like, I ain't going unless she go. Here's the thing. When they're at the zoo, they compare the monkeys and gorillas to Johnny May.
Oh my gosh.
You letting somebody talk about your girlfriend?
They did do that. I mean, it's before you realize who she is. That's right.
Yeah. Why are you shocked that he let somebody talk about his girlfriend? He had her pick out the slow jam and then he walked away from her.
He walked away! He was like, thanks,
boo. And she just watched him like
she didn't do anything. Kat was like, she gonna stay there? I was like, she the DJ. What she gonna do?
But she wasn't gonna start in a fight because that was her girl's house. So right. She wasn't gonna get wild with it. But like, damn.
I think Johnny May is the girlfriend and Sandra is Johnny May's friend. And she wanna go wherever Sandra goes, so she gonna put up with kissing on some
or
dude.
It might even be that she want to go. It may be that Johnny May is like, I can't go unless Sandra go. Like, Sandra's her, not her lookout.
Wing woman?
Not even that.
I can't remember what the name of it. I don't know if you ever watched 6 Feet Under.
Mm-mm.
Well, one of the characters used to go with the prostitute. She had a prostitute friend. She would go and be like the
escort.
That's why you say on lookout. Okay, yeah. Lookout is fair. I know
she would make sure no, you know, bad shit didn't pop up.
She the cousin that her mama made go with her.
Like being the little sister.
Right.
Take her with you.
And instead of just standing outside while Johnny May do what she gonna do in the corner in the hallway, she like, okay, I kiss this dude too.
What I love about Sandra is that she knew her mind, and she was like, "I kiss on you, but it ain't going no further than that. I ain't giving you nothing. Mm-hmm. Then you, these draws will never be yours.
They belong to Coaches."
Waiting my turn.
Yeah, look at it like this. Because I don't even know that she was even thinking about Coaches like that. But you gotta look at it like this. She mad because this dude who been trying to get in the draws and hooked up with the light skinned chick. And then, so you're like, I got this opportunity to not only get back at him by sleeping with his best friend, it's the hottest dude in school. Of course I'm gonna take the opportunity.
You think I'm gonna pass that up? But here's my thing. I think she made the moves on him, and he said, "I don't pass up draws."
Oh, probably.
And I do think it's a jealousy thing, because remember Brenda kissed Preacher in the hallway because she saw Sandra standing there, and Sandra actually hit him with the finger wag. What was that? What was that? And I'd have been like, "What was it? You not my girlfriend. Right. Get out my face."
And she treated Preach like he wasn't, you know, was just taking up some space.
But the problem with Preach is that he was trying so hard to play every piece on the board,
mm-hmm.
that he wouldn't just say, "Well, we ain't together, so it don't even matter."
Right.
He's still trying to have an opportunity with her.
Right. Exactly.
That's true. Trying to keep them options open.
Mm-hmm. Even though, you know, he done went and, you know, got Brenda, you know, he with Brenda, just stupid, you know, he's just a stupid person. So once he pursued Brenda, Sandra was just somebody to hook up with, and that's who she was. She was just there. She just Johnny Mae's friend. She was nobody special.
So on Brenda real quick, why was she reading sonnets during the party?
Why was she at the party? Is she a transfer student? Is she Sandra Dee's character from Grease? Why is she there?
I had the same question. Because when he saw her, he looked at her like, "Oh, where have you been all my life?" At school. So are we supposed to believe she's a late transfer? Are we supposed to believe that he's missed school?
He missed so much school.
He has no idea who goes there.
And none of his friend group said, "You should have saw that pretty light-skinned girl that showed up."
Right, because here's the thing. Like,
but he didn't see her in school. He saw her at the restaurant.
Right. But the way this school year is playing, because he got a little scholarship letter, I'm thinking it's like spring. So school going to be over soon. How do you not know this person go to school?
She's a late transfer.
I don't think so. No. She is not new. She's been there, and they don't like her. They think she uppity. She uppity because Coachisa immediately didn't like
her. Right.
Yeah. Step off, baby.
Right. What did he say? Did he call her a high yellow heifer? Or something like that?
And I think he did make the moves, and she was like, "No, thank you." And so he is not feeling her. He don't like her. She thinks she better than everybody. And Preach old corny, but bringing her toilet paper. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What are you doing?
Because Kat was like, I'm going to keep on seeing what Kat did.
Kat's on top.
Because she was like, because poetry, that's what got her. I was like, she don't want just your regular old round the way dude. She want that educated dude.
And that's great. And I'm great that she got to see that Preach was the real deal, because he knew. He knew Brown. He recognized Browning, and he's in over here quoting things and saying he gonna get her a book. But my thing is, why'd you happen to be reading sonnets at this party? Like, why are you here?
Why are you here? She probably friends with Dorothy
or Johnny Mae.
Dorothy did seem nice enough to invite everybody.
And
she's like, "I don't want to dance with any of these people." She's like, "I got a quarter, whatever." She didn't want to dance with any of those guys, so she's like, "I found a room with books in it. I guess I'll read." And got the move out with me. Okay, but
there you go.
Not gonna waste my evening in my quarter.
Oh, home sucks. She got a bad home life, right? So this is her way of not being there. Yeah. Her mom's new dude is there, and she's like, "I just can't." I feel you, Brenda.
She got two brown skinned sisters, and she's the only.
And they always reminded her.
Right.
Get off me.
That's my fault.
Why don't you go read a sonnet or something?
Right.
Okay, so other memorable scenes, and tell me if I missed any, because I have to say, it's easy for me to talk about a lot of them, but at some point I had to admit, I don't get some of these scenes and why they were there. But there are some I do get. So we're going to go into the ones that I do get. And if y'all feel like I skipped some, sorry, we can get back to it. So, of course, the quarter party. And this is where T going to say it. T's favorite line.
Get the hell out the break front. My man ain't paid for it yet.
So Dorothy having this party, and she has made it clear we can't handle fights. She ain't even want Damon all trifling behind to come in because he always starts fighting.
She should have fought to keep him out. Keep your quarter. Right. Get on out of here.
I don't need your quarter. We can't handle a fight. I ain't been having a party for months.
Damon cased that. He had his scowl on his face. He walked through that door looking for a fight, and then his punk ass couldn't fight.
Now, on that, though, I'm going to say something controversial. Damon's girlfriend started everything.
She sure did. I say
started everything, I mean everything went wrong from the movie. I blame her.
Yes. Damon yes. said, I got to fight every night to prove my love.
Yes.
Why does she talk like that? Open your mouth and speak.
Why was her you say open your mouth and speak. Her mouth stayed open. She never closed it. That's why she talked like that.
Was she 5554432? Was she?
I don't think, but she was like her. She was like her.
This Joe.
I did not like her.
I didn't either.
And Johnny May ain't like her. Johnny May should have known.
Johnny May should have been like, Dorothy, give her her quarter back and get this bitch up out of here.
Johnny May could have resolved all of that. This would have never happened if Johnny May would have been like, hold up.
Johnny May should have went on that record.
She should have. I mean, oops, 45 only cost a dollar. Go ahead, scratch that record.
Exactly.
Tell open mouth to get out. Punch Coach Cheese in the stomach. Send his ass home too.
Speaking of punching, what do you think of Dorothy whomping on Tyrone?
She was like, who are you pushing?
She pulled back. Into the brave front. Oh, my God.
Dorothy has some strength because she was holding up that brake front. That's the strength of knowing your mama gonna kick your ass and stuff go wrong.
Yes.
I let you have this party. Y'all bet not break my brake front.
I'm surprised Dorothy showed up to the movie that, you know, because.
Dorothy should have been on house arrest or some shit.
All that happened was Dorothy can't have company for 3 months.
Man, Dorothy would have had a limp in any other family.
Cause she ain't done paying for this.
She
would have got. They would. Her mother, her father, aunts, uncles, the neighbors would have took turns whooping her ass. They would have sent her through a belt line.
The belt line. Nope, she just can't have country for 3 months. Even though they broke the brake front. I love how Preach didn't know the fight was going on. And Pooter ran to get him for whatever reason. And Preach was like, I'm a lover, not a fighter. He went out there.
He's like, I ain't going out there.
And what did you come out and cheer? He came out.
He directed the fight.
Get him.
Okay, so now the joyride. Stone and Robert come up with this stolen caddy.
And how come these two clowns didn't know it was stolen? It's Stoney and Robert. You should have known
that
it was stolen.
The friends were like, I ain't going.
And for a minute, Preach was looking like, I ain't doing that. And the coach was like, come on, man, what are you scared?
Yes, right. I am scared. I don't want to get in the car with these two dudes that are clearly 27. Why they keep hanging around us?
Okay, so Stone and Rob was in high school too, right?
They ain't never set foot in school.
I mean,
they were
high school aged and would have graduated a couple years ago, though. They older than them. I think they older than them. But knew them. You know what I mean? Yeah. I feel like they were there at the same point, but they older than them.
Okay.
And I just don't understand why they would go. Even I know Preach was reluctant, but why would you go? And not only did you go, did you go lie and say you know how to drive, or you was driving white people around Gold Coast? Like, no.
17. Get out of... Sit down,
ain't been
clown.
Nowhere outside them. He ain't been outside Cabrini Green, and he talking all that crap.
Sit down somewhere. Right.
So apparently Glenn Turman did all that driving through, like, through all of it or whatever.
I want to know if that was like some of that was like improv, because they was cracking up.
They were cracking up. My favorite part actually is who you say is which? Stone, I guess. He in the one in the front seat, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he like covers his eyes. He's laughing so hard. He goes, oh.
Go Jesus in the back. I was like, is he sick? But he look up and he cracking up. I'm like, they must have had some fun recording that.
They had to. And I read that the parking lots they were going in and out apparently used to use for drag racing. Hmm. And they said they stopped. By the time they shot the movie, people really didn't do it as much. But because they used to do it, they decided to drive there. I thought that was interesting. Because I'm like, who would be going through parking garage or whatever they were in with them narrow areas?
I was like, why did he go there?
The cops were so determined.
I know, right?
Like, joyride. Come on, y'all. Right.
And I just got to ask, I know there's no real answer, but the whiplash, what the heck were they up to? They had to be up to no good, and that's why they were like, let's pretend we got
hit. Exactly. They're sitting in a car. What were y'all doing?
You know what they was doing.
What were you doing?
Head. Till I get enough.
Whiplash.
Whiplash.
That's how they got whiplash. Oh my God, my head. My neck and my back.
Other scenes that are just memorable, but I'm not entirely sure. I don't get what they did. What did the movie scene do for us?
It did not move any part of the plot along.
It did not. It was something that Berry Gordy could use later.
Right, because Michael Schultz did direct that. So he said, I got us a good movie scene we could do. I mean, it was kind of recreated in a Fugees video later, so people enjoyed it enough, I guess.
But what's the point? Just let us know that people
always mess with Pooter. Yeah, we do know that.
We know that, right. And it let us have some fun with Pooter. You know, that was basically it.
He had to pay for the movie. Gosh. And then Jimmy Lee. Cher, you gonna do the classic line from Jimmy Lee and the White Dude?
What the hell you want here, honky?
Wow, I absolutely love it. What did that do for us? Like, what was the point?
Did they cut something? No, it did nothing.
Yes, did somebody not show up for work? So they had to put something in there.
Was it just to show us Jimmy Lee was a con man and with a hustler
and a pimp? Like, so we noted that they were all going. The five of them were looking for him so they could get some weed, but they never got him.
What? And then found him. Like, right. We saw Jimmy Lee doing something illegal. That's it.
Right.
Like, we missed something there. So, I know they ain't driving forward, but I had
that,
to mention
that was 10 minutes that wasn't doing anything. They didn't do anything for the movie except for give us that classic line.
I guess a way to clown a white dude, honestly. Yeah. Because why did this dude believe him? Let me hold your wallet because they steal.
Right.
These B words are known to steal, so I'll hold your stuff and you go hope for the best.
And why does white man come up in this neighborhood and look at why he leave with Jimmy Lee when the lady by the phone was eyeballing him? He had some action right there. He had to go find nobody else. She was ready.
Jimmy Lee had a sure thing.
It was a sure thing standing right next to him. That's why he put his glass down and posed with his cigarette. He still has some money in his pocket if he had to just went on with finger waves.
Okay, so now the Stone and Robert drama. Little did they know the police still cared. Oh, go ahead.
We'll do this first, I guess.
Even though is there something you want to go to before this?
Well, I guess it happens before, so what happens during? I know a lot of people who don't like teen movies where people have sex. Because they're like, that's irresponsible or whatever, BS. And I'm like, it's not. Teens have sex. Like, I think it's all about how it's presented. I will say this I didn't like. Because they made it look a little too sensual for me for them to be teens. Even though we know the actors were grown.
Right.
It was just like, why did we have to see the naked curve of her butt and make it look like it was this situation? Like, why couldn't it just be like the start and the finish and be
nice. I didn't even know. I was telling Kat that I thought she took off her dress and had her bloomers on, got under the cover, and then next scene they were done. I didn't know they went through all of that. And again,
I know,
you know, yes, those two actors were adults, but you are showing, you're depicting teenagers.
Exactly.
And I was like, that's a bit much for me.
You know what's crazy? Not only did I think Shell the same, I also thought that they just showed her bloomers and then undercover. I still thought that today. So saying it right now, as far as I'm concerned, no, I still don't know what y'all talking about. I guess my eyes closed because I didn't see it. Or I'm in so much denial. Honestly, I honestly didn't know.
I think that the directors wanted to portray the contrast of their skin tones.
It could be, but find another way to do that. He could have been, his hand could have been on her back.
Mm-hmm.
And that would have done it. Like, I just felt like it was too much for it to be obviously two children still. 17 or not, they were still children.
Right.
And you shouldn't portray a sexual encounter with children that way, in my opinion.
Right.
I agree, but shows do that.
They do that. Like the Netflix shows.
And that's nuts.
Yeah. And
I'm like, why are we doing
LA
this?
One?
Yes, that one, man.
That's why I stopped watching it.
Yeah.
That's a lot. Not for people who are portraying teens. Like, you can show sex without it doing all that.
Right. Staying on them just for a minute. What about him saying, wait till I tell Coachies he owed me a dollar? What is
And then immediately caught it. He immediately noticed I shouldn't have said this out loud. So why did you?
Why did you?
He's such a dumbass.
Especially you liked her. It's not like he don't like her. Who are you, right. One of the Dukes? What's wrong with you?
Right. Exactly. I thought of the Dukes too. Like, that wasn't your only goal. You actually did want to pursue something with her. So, that was just dumb to even say. What a dumb.
I don't know why he didn't call the bet off sooner. Just give him a dollar and be like, here, now I like her.
Coach, she's probably forgot about the bet.
Well, like, she's all that. Freddie Prinze started liking her, but he ain't called the bet, and then she found out.
Never seen
I think
that.
That's what happened. I think. Hope I ain't mixing it up with something else. Okay, so then Stone and Robert, yes, and you're right, that does kind of happen during, but Stone and Robert drama, so they didn't realize that the police, nope, we know what you colors look like, and we are coming to get you.
But how did they know?
How did they know? I find it very hard to believe that you knew specifically to go to them.
They have no criminal record.
Two people who had no criminal record.
So if you fingerprinted the car.
And you brought all four at the same time.
Right.
You brought all four at the same time, which means Stone and Rob did not say that they were involved.
Right. So did Damon drop a dime? Like, how? How did you know?
But how did he know he wasn't part of it?
Oh, everybody knew that they did it.
But see, I think Stone and Robert did tell on them. Why else would they know? Stone and Robert snitched on them and then got mad because they thought they got snitched on.
But if they snitched, that's admitting they stole the car.
Yeah, and they didn't admit anything.
But how did they know? I don't... That's
Damon.
The part.
Damon.
That punk. I'm standing by that. It had to be Damon. Because people knew because Tyrone and them knew. So probably was like kind of set and passing. Nobody thought anybody would tell because they don't do that in their neighborhood.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So probably said it with Damon around and he told on them.
Because he was looking for a way to get back. You started that fight with Coach Cheese.
Ain't nobody's fault that you thought you could fight. You walking around like you a badass and then took
what
a walk
What made him think he could take Coach Cheese anyway? Just because he was a pretty boy?
He couldn't take
Cooters.
Pretty
boys learn how to fight. Then pretty boys learn how to fight.
Mm-hmm.
They got right. to.
And he's athletic. Like, why would you even think? He's exactly. not just pretty and sitting there.
Exactly.
So, of course, they come get him at school. So, Mr. Mason knows what's going on. And he happens to see the cop as his friend. So, he's like, let me go on down there, straighten this out. Because I love Preach. I love Coach East. I can't let them go down. What do you think of him stepping in to help them?
I thought that was a good thing. You don't see many people doing stuff like that. So, I thought that was a really good gesture.
Because honestly, he tried with Stone and Robert. He was like, what about them?
Yeah, he did try.
No? Okay, never mind.
Yeah, that's how they are. I mean, I don't know them like
you
that.
You see they record? Get out of here.
He was like, okay. I ain't wanting to show their names. Why is the cop such a bad actor? First, this is a rhetorical question. Then I think I know the answer. He was horrible. And he was horrible like the mom. And I think, even though I can only confirm this about the mom, but I'm just going to tell myself it's true about the cop too. that they're not real actors.
Right.
Because I did read that the mom was, you know, from somebody from the neighborhood. And I got to believe the cop was somebody from the neighborhood, too. Because homie was terrible.
On that for a second. Are you going to talk about it later?
Well,
just about the lack of real actors in the movie. Because it seemed like only, like, the main three actors.
We can go into it now. So I am going to talk about it later, but we can go into it now. So since we're kind of introduced it. So the mom, we know for sure. Stone and Robert, we know for sure that Michael Schultz actually wanted to, like, gangster type. Like, so he actually met them in the neighborhood. Again, I'm going with the cop, too. And probably others. Probably Brenda. I don't know. He's walking down the street and he said,
the you one the friend, unknown friend,
terrible. And his brother.
Yes, and terrible. Brother. The little sister.
The little sister was girl.
Don't
she
her
was
no
so
laughs.
Happy to be there. She
don't
just smiled.
Too many laughs.
D was like, just follow me. D was,
but the little sister was D.
No, there was another little
the
sister.
Younger sister.
I thought the youngest sister was D. I thought they called her D, and the other girl was Shalina.
The middle one was D.
Okay, I thought the mother called the youngest one D, and I was like, "What? But that one's D. That's all I kept." She's the one who acts and looks like D.
But I thought it was. I kept thinking the whole time I'm watching the movie, especially in the beginning when they're like. When they cut, when they leave school and they're running through and they're on the bus and get to the park, I'm like, did they tell people they were shooting a movie? Because a lot of people were looking into the camera.
Right.
People in that classroom was looking right at the camera and then go, oh. People quick on the street reminder. Was like.
Quick reminder, $750,000 budget. This is how you achieve it. Mm-hmm. Just start shooting. Just go for it.
Because there were some people, when they were running down the street, people was jumping out the way like, what's going on?
And the last scene, when Preacher's running the fire coach, these two people on the street talking, they go, what? And it didn't look like action, huh? It was like, what the fuck? What's happening over here?
What about the ladies of the night?
Do you think that they were that's the actual occupation?
Because they weren't great, but I feel like they gave a good. They tried.
They tried.
Hey, they were better
the
than
Lone Ranger.
Oh my god! But it was interesting. It's interesting because you know The Wire did the same thing, but The Wire cast some pretty good people though. You didn't notice that they were just people from the neighborhood.
Right.
Maybe this they learned like, from this.
This was not the people from neighborhood. This is people who had never even seen a camera because they were like,
right. Maybe who just read the script before they had this thing go.
I gotta say they're words.
Like, just say this. Can I hold the paper? No. <All right.
laughs> Bad acting.
And I didn't comment on the cop smoking or. Use me or smoking. What are you talking to?
These kids need to be.
They need to be taught.
In his office at work.
And y'all noticed him open station. The window. He opened the window to air it out.
And then got his lights on.
Cut to Garrett Morris. Yeah, cut to Garrett Morris. Cut back to him. The window was closed.
He said, that's enough. I like the smell.
Like, you ain't even coming.
You're going to lose the feeling. You point out those flubs when Brenda and Preach were kissing and his glasses kept bumping her and then she told him to take them off. When she had on a string of pearls, blue pearls.
What?
And then when he took his glasses off, she didn't.
I didn't even notice that.
I was like, And not it looked like errors. The sun moved a little bit.
Oh, the sun. Work with us. Okay, so everybody, because Mr. Mason helped them get out, nobody knows, of course. He ain't gonna come report that I helped y'all. Mm-hmm. They just know that they got out. Turns out everybody at school think that they told on Stone and Robert. Which, Donald Duck Matthews, who invited you?
Right, where you coming from?
You weren't here at any point.
Well, where Tyrone? I mean, Tyrone been enjoying their Wild Irish Rose and everything, and then all of a sudden he turned on them.
I gotta ask, how was he so quick to? If Robert Townsend character, we know Robert Townsend.
Right.
So fine. He can be like, ugh, I bet y'all drive. I ain't like Coach East anyway, pretty boy.
Right.
But why did Tyrone? Right. Tyrone the one who spreading the word that right. they yeah. want to.
I was confused by that.
You saw them get in the car, Tyrone. You know they didn't do anything wrong. So even if they did tell on Stone Robert, what were they supposed to do?
Right.
So you
right.
think your friend should be in jail instead?
Right.
I'm sorry, I've never understood stop snitching. My life supposed to be over because...
Right.
Right. Especially on somebody who already got a record.
Right.
Like, they already know you did it because it's you.
Right. Right.
And you probably stole it outside your apartment.
Right. Like, you didn't even go far. You probably stole it in front of the owner.
Exactly.
I'm so disappointed by how quickly Tyrone turned. Mm-hmm. Like, that's just... Ugh, like that's how it goes right back to. I didn't ask this at the beginning. I changed my mind. I was gonna ask, is worth those other people, even besides Pooter, really their friends? Because I just didn't feel like they were.
I never thought they were. I felt like it was somebody who they hung with sometimes, and it didn't matter if they were there or not.
Mm-hmm. And he proved it right here. And only to feel stupid later, because he did feel dumb later on when they looking for each other. He looks concerned for Coach East, so he know he a jerk.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, Damon's still mad about the girlfriend.
Damon's still mad about that ass whooping.
About life. Exactly. About life in general. Like, you just unhappy. Everybody hates you. And they beat him up and accidentally killed him. And why would even beat him up that bad? You couldn't just... If you felt like you had to beat him up, it couldn't be a quick, we rough and tumble you.
Right.
They're beating him up pretty bad.
They beat the crap out of him. For somebody who was their friend enough for you to invite them into the stolen car.
Right.
Right. For you to not hear me out at all, and because especially, I feel like I always overlook the part where Preach tells them, Mr. Mason got mm-hmm. us out.
Right.
And he says, bullshit. Why don't you believe me? Why am I lying right, about that? Right. It's not believable. Y'all have had criminal records. We have not. You don't find it believable that our teacher looked out for us?
Right. But he got a scholarship to a big old fancy school. You don't think somebody would try to make sure he goes?
You are about to go to jail. You're out on bail. So why are you doing this?
Right. How are you this? What point? Again, who is this for? Everybody's scared of you enough. They scared.
And then they're scared. They don't even like you. They, you know.
Right.
The only person that's not scared of them is Breakfront Girl.
You said Breakfront Girl.
You just killed a young man, black man's dreams. Oh, and so I'm on that note. Turned out this was Eric Monty's life. We kind of hinted at you know, he went on to be a writer, so that is true about him.
Mm-hmm.
He grew up in Chicago, and he did have a friend who was killed. And I saw some quote of him, like, when they all like, reunited a few years ago. And he's like, I'm 70-something years old, but that was my friend. And, like, I'll always remember him. So it's like, that was kind of sad to think about it. Because you kind of think, oh, he's just writing from the experience of...
Yeah.
Sometimes this happens in black inner-city neighborhoods.
Mm-hmm.
But it was actually close to home. So that's unfortunate. And it always makes me sad because it got me again.
Yeah.
Me too. At first, it didn't get me. The scene didn't get me, though. After the funeral, that got me.
Yeah. And the fact, seeing Preach not able to go.
Yeah.
I had to watch from afar because he couldn't be around his people. I love that Pooter at least saw him. Pooter's mm-hmm. the only one that noticed him.
So why couldn't he be around him? Was it a choice or?
I think it was a choice.
Heartbroken. Yeah.
Yeah.
And needed like to have his last moment alone. Probably didn't want everybody on his face.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Especially the friends that kind of turned. Would you want to go to that funeral with those fakes?
Nope. Sure wouldn't.
I like that Brenda was looking for him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sandra sure didn't care.
Mm.
I was confused. Sandra and Johnny May all hugged up. So Johnny May, you don't know? She don't know. With Coach's baby?
You think Sandra went back and said, I just slept with Coach's? Because Coach's didn't.
They gonna find out in 9 months when that baby come out.
Unless he come out looking exactly like Coachies, I mean, no. Jeff Pooter's baby now.
So, of course, at the funeral, at the graveside itself, actually, Preach comes and pours the little something out. Bebo was like, what are you pouring out for?
It was only $1.75.
It probably wasn't even that much.
Be wild with you. Irish Rose. That wasn't
good liquor. That wasn't no good liquor.
That good liquor.
But those who were here, I like her earlier when he did, when Coaches did it earlier, they were like, well, they ain't here. He does go on and pursue his dreams, preach, and has to have his memory with his friends. So again, to me, that scene sealed the deal. That was his brother. I just feel like that they really were great friends and would have continued to be if Coach's life wasn't sadly cut short. So just, it gets me every time, I gotta say. What did you think of like just the end and like how they gave us, as T calls it, closure, like that they told us what happened with other people?
I'm disappointed Damon lived.
That's my favorite thing in the world, but I hate. No, it was. I'm gonna say that's my favorite thing in the world, but I wish Damon had either gone to prison for killing Coaches or he had gotten killed.
Even if he was killed in war.
Exactly. Right. He had it coming.
When I was younger, I almost felt like I waited for the words to change. Like, this time it'll say Damon did join the army, but he got killed.
I'm telling you, when I was watching it, I was waiting for it. Damon became a sergeant in the military and died in war.
Yep.
But for you to go on and just live your life, I mean, you were the last blow. It was you. You're the one who made him hit his head.
And nobody ever found out.
And ran off. Y'all didn't even make sure this dude was good. Preach had to find his body.
Yeah, that's terrible. I've always hated that. Like, so y'all just got away with it. And whether or not Stone and Rod meant to kill him, y'all still beat the crap out of him.
You beat the crap out of him, and you were out of jail long enough to go. You still got to live another 2 years to rob a gas station and then die.
Right.
And nobody cared? They didn't even care. I mean, I want to go to prison, I guess, but still. I would have thought they would have went to prison anyway because of the Grand Theft Auto charge. Right.
Me too. Wait, how were they just out here robbing gas stations?
For their court case? I mean, for trial?
Maybe they only went for a couple months, like for a year.
Maybe.
And just
repeated and did the same thing.
And by the way, y'all said this is only about a weekend?
Yeah.
Friday to Monday?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Because I even bail. I don't know. It just seemed weird. I don't know. Sorry. Never committed a crime. I get that bail, you can get out. You just chilling? You just out in the streets and can hunt somebody down to kill them?
Yeah, apparently. Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
Oh.
And then everybody giving you a path to you.
Depending on what you, when, you know, what you got arrested for. Grand Theft Auto, like.
Okay, because it's not
maybe it was aggravated burglary or aggravated assault or something like that. They probably would have been like, hey, you got to stay home.
Okay.
But who bailed them out? Because they didn't have a quarter. They couldn't even get into a quarter.
They
party.
Probably made.
Well, probably had a bail bondsman come and get them out.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And the bail probably wouldn't. Probably was like a 1 to 10% of
right.
The bond. Damon helped get it.
Yeah, I'm sure he did. Oh, punk ass.
He wanted them out so bad. Oh, hey, Preach. Remember how he called him out?
He was such a bitch.
I mean. You know, even in the epilogue, so even Tyrone, you know, died. But Damon just got the...
Yeah! Beat. I was like, how come he gets to live? Just to show us that, you know, bad people survive?
I guess so. They get away with it too, y'all.
Oh,
okay.
Or
get away with it too. I don't know what I meant. I'll put down some memorable quotes if y'all want to. I don't even know if y'all have one any to add, you can, but...
I said my memorable one.
Take a stab at those, T. Sure.
Preach to Dorothy. The only thing I know is your mama's a hoe. Why would he say that? Coach East to Brenda. Keep on stepping, baby.
I like the way he said it.
Coach East, this is for the brothers who ain't here.
This is for the brothers who ain't here.
Preach to Brenda. I'm gonna give you that as soon as I sell a copy.
Wow. At least he was honest. I want to get you a book. You should read it, but I gotta steal it first.
Preach. If they bust us, I'm just a hitchhiker. So stupid. And Preach. If you ain't got to pee, Let me.
Why are you always rhyming?
Because he's a poet.
He's a poet.
I love when he read his little poem to Coach Sheets. By the way, B-Roy did not really watch most of this movie. This was too old for him. So he kind of came in and out. But he saw that part. And when he said, I know you don't like poetry, nigga, but I got a poem anyway. B-Roy laughed so hard at that. He thought that was the funniest thing he ever heard. So some tidbits and details. Sorry if they look lengthy. I can shorten it. I can say it quickly. But so I love the soundtrack. What y'all think of the soundtrack?
I was starting to wonder if Motown produced the movie.
Hello?
And I read the end. It said the soundtrack is from Motown or something like that. So I'm like, oh, they must have just got permission to use the songs or something. Because they were like really excited. It was like Motown was huge.
And they, boy, I tried to keep track of them at first and then I didn't. But I was writing down, ooh, baby, and Stop It and Name of Love. They just messed up. But my favorite that stands out, it's not actually my favorite song, but because I've only ever heard it within this movie, is Beachwood 45789. I don't know why. I've never heard it in real life. But
Mommy used to play that.
I thought she did. I hear y'all say she's played it. I've never heard Mom play this song. Every single other, you beat me to the punch and everything. That's her jam. You beat me to the punch. But I do not know that Beachwood. She's even said, I love that song.
When it played, I was like, oh, my jam.
That sound, a fingertip. Oh, some good stuff on there. Just real quick things I saw. So according to Garrett Morris, they didn't want to cast him. They thought he looked too young. I didn't think about that. I was like, he the same age as Glenn Turman? Or only a couple years older?
10 years older.
Garrett Morris? How old is he?
He was born in 1937. I looked it up.
Oh, I thought he was in the 40s. Okay, never mind. According to Eric Monty, they did want to do a TV version, but it was received poorly, so then they retooled it, and What's Happening was a result. That explains so much, because when What's Happening, so I say, like, inspired by Coolie High or based on Coolie High, I ain't get it. I was like, how? Because of D? Like, what's the other
one? Just preach. And their mother.
But
okay. I used to tell myself that, too. Raj is no preach.
Okay,
no,
but, like, we never saw his mom that much in the movie, so how...
Right, it was who's Dwayne Pooter. Yes. Rerun.
That's what I was wondering. You know, which one was Rerun and which one was Dwayne?
Dwayne is
Pooter, clearly. But Rerun is no coach. Can I just say, I tried to watch What's Happening maybe a few weeks ago even, and I was like, I can't, and it's because of Rerun. I don't like Rerun.
Man, he's awful.
He's awful. I don't know how they were friends with him.
Like, same thing, childhood.
They should have kicked him to the curb after the Doobie Brothers concert.
He is so really? we did talk about this. So Michael Schultz wanted authentic characters to fill the gangster roles. So that's where Norman Gibson. I don't think his name was. That's not their names.
Yes, it is.
It's not, because I actually read an interview with them. That's not their name.
I just looked them up.
Oh, well, the interview.
IMDb.
On NPR. Yeah, I got this from IMDb, but it's incorrect. On NPR, their names are Rick Stone and Norman something else. Sorry, I was about to say the wrong names. I'm glad it jumped out at me. Whatever the case, Stone and Robert, Nick Stone played Stone, and somebody, Norman, played Robert. But they were actual, like, gangsters or whatever. And it, huh?
Yeah, go ahead.
And it even said, like, they said they rolled up, he rolled up on them in a limo and asked them to read the parts. And I like that something I saw said, he was like, the hell? But they did end up reading for the part and got it. But unfortunately, the guy who played the other one did get killed shortly after.
Why are their names wrong on IMDb?
I don't know. But Rick is the one, no. I'm sorry I'm getting them mixed up because I got the names mixed up on here. So Norman, who played Robert, is the one who was killed. He got killed in a stick up. But Rick Stone actually also went to prison as well. But the lady who played Johnny May had like a theater. She worked at a theater doing casting. So she got him to work there at the theater as a janitor and kind of like turned his life around, apparently. Mm-hmm. He started acting from there.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that interesting?
Mm-hmm. It's very interesting. Go ahead, Johnny May.
Right? It was nominated to be one of the top 100 funniest movies. So I guess it's considered one of the 500 funniest movies. I didn't even know he would like this movie. And I didn't know this. It's often called the Black American Graffiti, which after I read it, I realized I don't think I've ever seen American Graffiti.
It's boring. You ain't missing nothing.
I think that's why I never saw it. I think I remember wanting to see it because, like, people I knew from TV shows were on it. And I tried to watch it and was like, no care.
I watched it when I was younger, and I was like, am I just sticking through this because Richie Cunningham is in it? Because this is boring. Richie Cunningham and Shirley Feeney was in it. And all that.
And Harrison Ford. I loved American Graffiti.
Do you feel that it is the Black American Graffiti?
It's better.
Okay.
American Graffiti is more like Dazed and Confused.
Even like a day?
Yeah. It's like, I think American Graffiti is just a night. It's like just a bunch of shit that happens in the one night, which is, you know, I think this is
Can't Hardly Wait.
Yes, more like Can't Hardly Wait, except in cars. Or okay. There's one with Noah Wiley that is more like there's their movie that tried to be like American Graffiti. It's like just this happenings that happen to these people who happen to be friends this one night before like school ends or some shit like that. It's gotcha. Boring. It can be boring, but I liked it. I would say if you were, as somebody who it came out before, you would say it's the Black American Graffiti.
You get that.
Yeah, but it's better.
Cool. Interesting. It's not like calling Love Jones the Black when Harry Met Sally, because it's not at all.
Because that absolutely is not right. It
has nothing to do with the joke.
It's a guy and a girl, is that right. it? And love scenes? Like, what the hell? What? Somebody said that?
It's on the DVD. On the cover of the DVD, it says.
I cannot.
Either if it doesn't say Black with Harry Met Sally, it says a modern with Harry Met Sally. It definitely compares it to it.
But how with Harry Met Sally was modern?
It was made 7 years prior. Like,
what the hell? Okay.
Okay. All right. Well. I don't know if there's any scenes or moments that I missed or quotes before we start rapping.
Okay. What's this nostalgic look at 12 years?
Huh? What?
Coolie High was a nostalgic look back 12 years at Black teenagers that graduated high school. Is that something else?
I don't know.
Okay, well, never mind.
I mean, I skipped it.
Okay, well, I guess skip the reason. Never mind. Sorry I brought it up.
It's okay. Well... We're here to discuss. Would you? Does it hold up? And would you watch it again? Sure.
It holds up for it holds up. You know, it was made in 1975. What's hold up for something that old? And it was set in the 60s. Would I watch it again? Yeah. I did look at it this time, like, you know, but I hadn't seen it in a long time. I guess more like I just didn't remember certain things. I didn't remember that happened. Yeah, I thought it was shorter than what it was. So, but
yeah. But like what? What didn't you remember?
I didn't remember the love scene.
Oh,
I do. Again, some of it does ring a bell. It just seemed like it was more compressed. You know, I didn't know you get to see them in school. I didn't remember them getting the police coming to the school. I don't remember none of that. I didn't know that they had police troubles. I was wondering why Stone and Robert. We're coming after them. I was like, what's your deal? I thought the joyride led to the fight.
Okay. Got you. Wow.
It's been a long time. Does that mean my Black card is got a notch in it now?
For other reasons. Yes, thanks.
I think you just came at me.
No.
So
yours is probably fine. I think probably they get a mom who don't even have one. You know, when we first were starting talking about this, before we started recording, I was thinking, I don't know if I like this movie. Mm-hmm. And I will say, I will re-say that and say, it's not that I don't know that I don't like this movie. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize, like Shola was saying, there were so many things that I'm like, why is this happening? Showing them, I guess, because the first thing that came to my mind was them beginning on the bus and then going to the park, but I think it was to show which is something I'm going to talk about. It was supposed to juxtapose against what the teacher was saying when they were sneaking out the classroom. Because she reading all these rules about how they're supposed to behave, which that was the most white supremacist right. shit I've ever heard in my life. But, like, she's talking about how they're supposed to be clean and make sure they have clean clothes and don't do anything illegal. So then they immediately go, she says, ride public transportation legally. They immediately go boo hop a bus and then go to the park and run all over the grass when they're supposed to. So, like,
the hot dog,
yeah, they're stealing and everything. So I'm like, that made sense later, but like, the scene, the movie theater, the love scene, some of the scenes, I was just like, it's just filler, but I don't feel like it took away from the movie. So would I watch it again? Yeah, probably not. I wouldn't like it. Like, oh, it's Thursday, trying to watch Cooley High, but I had been meaning to watch it even before, because it's in my favorites on Hoopla. I had been meaning to watch it anyway. So, yeah, watch it again. It's not bad. Like Shel said, it's not like, it holds up. I was expecting way more problematic things to be said, and they weren't.
Mm-hmm.
Except for, like, calling women bitches. But, you know.
Before Leona said hers, the hot dog scene. When he gave the hot dog back, she took the tongue.
She put that shit back in the water.
She said, well, fine.
Put that shit right back. I was like, she did not put that hot dog back. Mm. And she sure the hell did.
How you don't have nothing for the hot dog either? Yeah. You know people ask.
I was like, I feel like I walked into the toilet. She put that back.
She sure did. She hated her job.
She sure did. It's not my fault we don't have ketchup. Leave me alone.
So, by the way, I actually meant to also say, like, some kind of quick, I'll be quick, but, like, just kind of interesting that this movie had, like, such an influence that I feel like I've noticed over the years. Like I mentioned how in the Fugees video, they kind of recreated the movie fight scene of Killing Me Softly. And Lauryn Hill actually does something about seeing Cooley High die when Cochise died. Cried when Cochise died. I remember her saying that. So, like, you know, like, Nas has referenced it, like, a lot of different... Or even Boyz II Men, remember?
Cooley High Harmony.
And I remember being like, how dare they sing the song at the end of the movie? But I love their version. So it's just like, you could tell that it was like this thing that really, however you saw it or whenever you saw it, it was influential on Black movie watchers. I love it. I own it. It had not been years, maybe at most 3. It hadn't been that long since I'd last seen it. And I do feel like I look at it differently every single time, especially as a parent now. I'm being like, that's irresponsible. but I do agree that it could have been more problematic. It totally isn't, especially for the era. It could have been trying to keep up with blaxploitation movies and been way worse.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad I didn't notice the sex scene you guys talk about. I don't know if I blinked too hard or if I skipped it. I don't know, but I really don't remember it. But so aside from that, I just feel like it captured a lot. And I love it, and I love Glenn Turman so much, and I love a lot of the actors. I love Glenn Turman and Garrett Morris. Wish I saw Lawrence more. But I enjoyed it. And I'm glad we finally talked about it.
Yeah. Was this Lawrence Hilton Jacobs goal? No, because I forgot he was in Claudine. Both of those came out before Welcome Back, Kotter, or around, or together with
so,
this.
Yes. I think so.
They did both before. I think Welcome Back, Kotter was like after Grease, before Grease, 77, 78.
Mm-hmm.
I was about to say something when you were talking. I thought of something you were talking about this movie. I forgot. It was basically just reiterating what you were saying, like agreeing with you, like it. Definitely could have been worse.
Yeah,
they were trying to keep up. Tried to keep up with other things, but oh, that's what I'm saying. I read something about Eric Monty where he said he wanted to show that even though you lived in a place like Cabrini Green, you could still enjoy life.
Yeah, I did, like
and
that,
I feel so. Like that's exactly what this movie showed.
Yeah,
even though there was a tragedy at the end, But, like, we know tragedy can befall anybody, anywhere, anytime.
Right.
I do like that they show, like, we don't have the most, but we're making the most of life, and we have dreams, we want things, we have things we want to pursue, and we're going to do what we have to do to do it.
I agree. And it didn't make you constantly afraid for their lives. You know what I mean? Right. Like, there's so many things that you can watch with black people since then or through today, where I'm like, oh gosh, somebody about to get killed. Right. I'm so used to y'all reminding us black people can't make it. Exactly. I'm so used to something sad happening to black people in movies and TV shows. I know it ain't everything, but it happens in so many things that you're prepared for it. Mm-hmm. And I like it they didn't walk through life afraid. The most they were afraid of is not achieving their goal.
Right.
Right.
I like the school setting, you know, that they had a positive teacher that was looking out for them, that
kids respected them, right. The ones who were acting up in the bathroom. Yeah.
Right. They weren't clowning, you know, they weren't class clowns or nothing. They went there to learn, you know, there's always, to me, a negative portrayal of students, period. But it just seems to be worse when it's black students. And this mm-hmm. did a good job of portraying students from the inner city. You know, I thought it did a good job.
Mm-hmm. One of the best high school movies.
Exactly. Yes, and it felt, even though it was before my time, the setting was before my time, it still had something familiar about it.
Right. And unlike these other teen angst movies, like, there was no angst.
Right.
It was like, we live in a terrible situation where we have to steal to have fun. But that's not going to bring us down.
Right. And it's, I hate to say it this way, innocent stealing. They ain't sticking nobody up. They ain't threatening nobody's lives.
They were not trying to hurt nobody. Even with the joyride, their point wasn't to hurt anybody. Right. The point was, hey, this is a fun adventure we can go on. It's the weekend. Let's do this. They never had any intention. Or even the stuff they did with the girls. They didn't have any intention of hurting anybody. Mm-hmm.
But even with that car chase with the cops, you know, in any other movie, it would have been, could have been worse.
Right.
The cops would have died. They would have made sure the cops died.
Or the cops would have killed them. Come up on them and,
right.
Exactly. Stallone was like, Rob was like, I just ain't going to die.
Right.
So we're going to drive away from here. He could have put out a gun. Right. In the other movie, that's exactly what happened. Yep. So I like that it was like, it kept it clean, as it were.
Right.
Even with the fight with the gang.
Even
we didn't see it.
With the white man, you know, trying to go get the prostitute. He didn't get beat up, you know, so.
Exactly.
Right.
Just take his broke butt back home and try to explain to his wife where his money went.
Exactly. I lost my wallet.
Right. I just feel like, I do remember they did an unsung Hollywood for this movie, and this was years ago, so I don't remember, like, what was uncovered about it or something. But I thought it was interesting that it could be chosen, that it belonged. Because with the exception of Glenn Turman, I know Michael Schultz and Eric Monte actually to this day work. They both direct and write for shows. Or I don't know if Eric still does today. But I know they both did at least recently still direct and write TV shows. But they aren't household names, you know. Right. And Glenn Turman, I feel like it's still like fighting for to be an actual mm-hmm. household name. Black folks know him,
mm-hmm.
you know. And I just feel like this is the type of movie where American Graffiti, you had people who you're like, they are huge names after it came out. This could have been that.
Right.
Yeah.
And I go back to me saying it was influential. Like, so many people know this movie and know, like, have at least seen it once or twice or whatever and can remember things about it. It's just interesting. We could say it over and over how many of movies featuring people like us aren't bigger than they could have been. Stars aren't bigger stars than they could have been.
I know this probably could be a conversation or should be a conversation for another time, but it's interesting to sit back and watch stuff like this and think, what if Lawrence Hilton Jacobs and, you know, what if they were household names? Why aren't they? They were Glenn Turman is an excellent actor. Why?
It's especially interesting because they're both attractive, too.
Right.
So what would be the reason for it to not happen?
Except for being black, you know?
Exactly. And I've always myself wondered how John Travolta was the breakout star.
And you know,
man, when we used to watch Rebecca Van Cotter, I was like, who are we looking at? Y'all looking at the wrong person? Right. What's his name? Boom Boom? Freddie Boom Boom?
Right.
Sorry, go ahead.
The lady who played Brenda, you know, even though she wasn't the best actress, had she been white, they would have honed her skills.
And she, oh, yeah, because she wasn't horrible. Definitely. She could have got better. I think she wasn't one of the worst in here. So she could have got better.
She got better throughout the movie.
Right.
Yeah. Fascinating.
It is. Definitely a conversation we should have one day.
Really? All right. Shell.
All right, so I guess you want to know where to find us, huh? Mm-hmm. You can listen and subscribe to Fandom City Podcast on Apple Music, Spotify, fandomcity.simplecast.com, and wherever you find podcasts. Check out our website, fandomcity.com. Check us out on social media, if you so choose. generally at Fandom City Mayor. You can follow us on Twitter. I'm at Fandom City Mayor.
I'm at Alderman Leona X.
And support your local library. It's a must. We watch this with the library and wear a mask. COVID is real. Get a vaccination if you haven't. Black lives
or keep your ass home.
Please.
Well, yeah, keep
home. I want to see Shang-Chi. So could y'all not go when I go?
Seriously.
Right. Screw Disney Plus. Why are you trying to hold them down? That's a whole other story. Sorry.
That's a whole nother rant.
Anyway, go watch Cooley High again.
Yes.
Alrighty.
Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for joining.
Bye.
Bye.